Hebrews chapter number 3. There will be the VBS VBS in review, or whatever you call it. What do you call that? Or where is she? Week in review of the VBS will be available this Sunday in the bookstore. Sell it technically because it's somebody else's music. Gabe didn't sing it, you know. So you could give a donation. That would help. We did have to buy the software to make such a video this year. We've bought that, and so all of that would help. So it'll be in the bookstore. If you want to give a donation of $2 or $3 or $4 or $5 or $10 or $20, whatever you the Lord would lead you, do that. And it will also be a ministry for those that you are following up on. Okay, Hebrews chapter number 3. Of course, a couple of the issues of the book of Hebrews. Many different thoughts on the book of Hebrews. Two of the main thoughts are these Hebrews people that aren't saved, or are these Jewish people who are saved? There are many people on both sides of the issue here. Is the word Hebrews referring to a general distinction of people who professed, Jewish people who profess salvation, or are they genuinely saved? I think that that's one thing that you need to be aware of. In the book of Hebrews, we do know that there is a point of decision, what are they going to do about Jesus Christ? And are they going to continue to follow him and to serve him and to worship him? Hebrews chapter 3 in verse number 7. Wherefore? And wherefore is like the word therefore. Whenever you see it in the Bible, you always have to find out and think about and ask yourself, why is it? Why is wherefore there? Okay? And it's a concluding word. It's a statement that is a conclusion of previous statements. And we have previous statements that as we talked about, thinking of Christ having ascended into heaven as our high priest. Christ having taken on human flesh and dying on the cross as our substitute. He came into this world and took on human flesh, not because he was lower than the angels, nor because he was merely equal with man, but because he was the Son of God, and he had to become the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So though in appearance he looked lower than the angels, he was much higher. And we find that he is the apostle and high priest of our profession. He is the apostle. He fulfilled the plan of God as he was sent into the world to die, to declare the Father, to pay our sins, and to rise again, and to go into heaven and be our high priest. He is far superior to Moses. Moses was merely a worker in the household of the people of whom he was an equal. The Lord Jesus is the builder of all things. The house that Moses built was merely a a picture of the house in heaven. The house that the Lord Jesus Christ rules over in heaven and is the high priest in. So because Christ is so far superior to Moses, and he is such a great high priest, and he is in heaven today. Therefore, the Hebrew people need to do something about it. They need to make a decision. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, and this is a quote from Psalm 95, today, if ye will hear his voice. Let's go to Psalm 95, and then we'll look at this verse a little bit. Psalm 95 is a song of psalm of worship. And, of course, the dilemma is, okay, am I going to go back to the Old Testament, or am I going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I going to not forsake the assembling of myself together? Am I going to be with God's people, the people who profess Christ? Or am I going to go back to the Jewish synagogue? What is my decision about what I'm going to do? And so here's a call to worship, and this is quoted here in Hebrews 3. And it says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And, of course, remember in Hebrews 3, he said that Christ was the maker of all things. And he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice. And so that is quoted. Today, if ye will hear his voice. You know, that is one of the great spiritual truths of the Bible is today. Today. The Christian life is a life of opportunity. But those opportunities are today. And most of them will not be here tomorrow. It's like salvation. The opportunity of salvation is today. The Bible says in John 3, Jesus said, he that is born of the Spirit, it says, it is like the new birth, is likened unto the wind. And that wind, which is representative of the Holy Spirit, says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There is a great truth here, is that when the wind is blowing is the time you can fly a kite. If the wind isn't blowing, you aren't going to fly a kite. You might run a lot, but the minute you stop running, it's not going to support a kite. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Speaking of the sovereign working of the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God works in his sovereignty, it is time to respond. And, you know, we don't know when the wind will blow again. We don't know that. And, you know, you think, oh, man, I don't want to submit to the Lord. I don't want to surrender to the Lord. I don't want to make a decision. You know, a lot of people, they make a huge mistake in their Christian life. They aren't people who make decisions. That's a huge mistake. You know, it's kind of like they are in some kind of limbo land, and their purpose for them to come to church is just to fill their head with some kind of knowledge. Well, praise the Lord for knowledge. But knowledge needs to be acted upon. And, you know, when we come to church, we need to do business with God. And it's a pretty sad day when we come to church, and we can say that the last time we ever did business with God was 8 months ago. Let me tell you what. You know what that means? I don't know what that means, but maybe it means the Holy Spirit hasn't blown His wind on you for 8 months. Spirit of God isn't pricking you. Boy, that's pretty serious, isn't it? It sounds to me like that Holy Spirit has been quenched or the Holy Spirit has been grieved. But the real Christian life is when you read your Bible and the wind of the Holy Spirit blows your way. And you sense the Spirit of God trying to teach you something. You sense the Spirit of God pricking your conscience. We sense the Spirit of God is causing you to respond to Him. That's a wonderful thing. And anytime that isn't happening in your life, you can count yourself in a sad spiritual state. But for the unsaved, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And many people unsaved, I just think of Mr. Gonzalez, sat about right there. We had revival meetings a couple years ago. I was preaching. Mr. Apple gave his testimony. He was under conviction. But you know what? He blew it off. He blew it off. I wondered, the Holy Spirit, has it blown His way again? I would hope it has. We pray it has. Many times the Holy Spirit moves in regard to people's prayers. But, you know what? You don't take it ever for granted that the Holy Spirit is going to come back and convict you and try to move in your life. Don't ever take that for granted. The Bible says, today, if you will hear His voice. In God's timing, there is never tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Bible is always today. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day. Now is the time of salvation. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. But we do have the privilege of responding to God today. And so the Bible is emphasizing with this one word. You know, this word today is such an important word. Today, if you will hear His voice. And it goes back to Numbers 13 and 14. In Numbers 13 and 14, the people of Israel were in a situation of opportunity. They were in a situation of opportunity. And the opportunity was to go into the land. And the spies came back, and 10 of them gave a bad report about what God could do, and 2 of them gave a good report about what God could do. Is exactly the kind of land that God said it was. And here was the opportunity. It came to a head. So they came to a place of decision. And of course, Numbers 14, verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us again into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said unto another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. And Moses said to the people, Caleb, Joshua, they said, verse 7, the land which we passed through is to search it. It is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the congregation bade them stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle. And the Lord said, how long will this people provoke me? Opportunity's over. God took the people out of Egypt, took them over to Mount Sinai, gave them the law. They built the tabernacle. He marched them back through the wilderness up to Kadesh Barnea at the south of the land of Palestine, and the entrance up into Israel. And he said this was the going to be the launching place. They sent out the spies of the land. They were in the land 40 days viewing the land. They came back. The people were waiting for their report. And it was their opportunity to say, we're going to trust God. And the people listened to the 10 spies instead of Joshua and Caleb and Moses and Aaron. And they says, nope. Too dangerous. God can't give us the land. And God says, okay, go back. You're not going in the land. Go back. You're going to wander now. You're going to wander 1 year for every day that the spies were in the land, seeing the glory of the land, seeing the reality of the blessing that they could have had. And so they had, today means, that's what it's referring to. Today, did they hear his voice? Nope. God was speaking. God was bringing them to a decision. God was bringing them to that place. The will, the Spirit of God moved in their life. And you know what? I don't understand it, but there's an importance of now in the Christian life. And what do we know about that? I don't know about that, but I think I know about it. I don't know about it for you. There's a picture here, and I think it explains a lot of what happens in Christianity. I believe that most everybody, if not all Christians, are brought to places of opportunity to go forward. And that point of decision can't be sloughed off. It can't be ignored. It can't be no. It needs to be responded to. And when God's people respond to that, then they're led into higher ground. But when God's people say no, they lose the opportunity. I think it's an explanation for the majority of people who profess to be saved, who live a worldly, comfortable, non-committed Christian life. God takes care of them, just like he did with people in the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wax old. Their garments didn't wear out. God gave them manna every single day. God took care of his people. But they weren't living in the life of victory. They were living in that life of false peace. And they were on the lowland and not on the highland. And, you know, how does this happen? How does this happen? I tell you how it happens. Is God leads people to a place that they have to trust him and go forward. But, you know, people don't like to be decisive. People don't want to be decisive about doing right. They just want to kind of whatever. But people need to be decisive. I remember when I was in Campus Crusade for Christ, and I was a brand new Christian, and I remember these wonderful people who led our little group. And I remember one time we were, whatever we were doing, and they were talking about some lady who supported them financially. And they were kind of making fun of her conservative views. And I sat there as a brand new Christian. I says, you know what? That's not right. That's not right. They shouldn't be laughing at people who are conservative and want to do right. And you know what? That was a turning point in my life. That was a turning point. To me, that was one of the turning points from me being an evangelical to being a fundamentalist. Just that little decision in my heart. You know, years ago, just put another illustration here. Years ago, I heard a sermon on this passage of Scripture. And then I was reading my Bible one day, and I said, you know what? Now is an important part of the Christian life. We need to be ready to go forward and make big decisions for God when He calls us to do it. And something happened in our church. I think it was Verizon Communications, or was it? Yeah, I don't know who it was. Verizon or one of those. They drove down our driveway one day and said, hey, we want to build a cell tower in your place. And I'm kind of glad that it never worked out because all the radiation in the air. But anyway, they called up and they said, we want to build a cell tower in your place. And so I brought it to the church and, you know, we didn't know much about cell towers. And people said, well, man, maybe they're going to put TV waves on that cell tower and people are going to broadcast, you know, bad stuff and you know, this and that. And there's a big long list of questions that they had. And so when I talked to the guy from whatever that company was, they realized, no, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. We don't have time to go through all this rigmarole. And so didn't hear from them again. They just dropped us and they went to the neighbor, in fact, where Wally lives, and pretty soon I saw him drilling out there. They were doing borings and testings, and they're going to build the cell tower over there. And that was about income about $800 a month for 20 years. And I thought about that, and I says, you know, the problem was, and thank the Lord it didn't work out, but the problem was we weren't ready to act. We weren't ready to act. We weren't ready to recognize if this was the Lord. If it was the Lord, we needed to have been able to say, okay, we'll sign. But we weren't ready to do anything. And I was thinking about that. I said, you know, when God leads a person somewhere, you better be ready to act. No time for dallying. And it was, I had that thought in my mind, and about 2 weeks later, the sign comes up for sale on the Mission House property. And I saw that sign, and boy, I couldn't believe it, a farm for sale right next to us. And I said, okay. And I called him up right away. I says, I want an appointment. And we were the second ones to look at it. And I said to the real estate lady, we're buying it. We'll go to the office. Now, the church couldn't buy because we have constitutional ways to do it. And so we wrote a check out for $1,000, made the offer on the property, and you know the rest of the story of how all that happened. But you know, if I would have gone over there and said, boy, you know, we ought to think about this property. You know, this would be a good idea. You know, we've been praying about a cemetery. We've been praying about a mission house, you know. We've been praying about this, and, you know, we just better just do some more praying about it, you know. I mean, that's a lot of money. And, you know, we just need to think about this for a few more months or a few more weeks. Well, no way. That place lasted 1 week. It was sold. You know, there is a time in Christian life when it's now. Now. And God leads us to places spiritually where we need to be ready to respond to God. Now, that was a physical thing. It was a spiritual thing. But, you know, the problem is, the reality is, our hearts could be hard, and we aren't going to be able to get there. Harden not your hearts. Don't have your hearts hard through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, we got sin in our life. We're kind of messing around with our Christian life. We're not serious about our Christian life. Our heart is hard. You know, a hard heart is a heart that it's hard to obey God. We need to have, one of the pictures we need to have when we think about the heart in the Bible is rather than thinking of this Hollywood mushy-gushy stuff, when you think of the word heart in the Bible, think of the word your will. Your ability to decide to do what is right. The ability to decide to obey God. The ability to decide to say, I am going to take this step of faith. That's what the heart is. It's this ability to decide. And you know, there's people, they just hem and haw. And some people say, you know, I know that's a decision I need to make, but I can't make it. You know what? Their heart is hard. It's been hardened by sin. And, you know, and they're just like the unsaved person. You invite them to church and they say, oh, I never make any promises. Well, that's a lie. They make a promise to go to the grocery store. They make a promise to go to the baseball game. They make a promise to go to the football game. They make a promise to go to work. They make a promise to pick up their paycheck, you know. That's a lie. What they're saying is, I have no ability to decide to do what's right. I'm a weakling spiritually. And so he says to the Hebrew people, all this evidence about Jesus, who he is, far superior to Moses. They're hanging on to Moses. They want to go back to Moses. They want to go back to the Old Testament. They want to go back to that economy. And he says now, today, the Holy Spirit says today, if ye will hear his voice, if ye will hear his voice. You know, there we have. It's a need for today. It's a need to hear. In this case, it means to hear and to obey his voice. And it's kind of like this. How many people hear the voice of God? Almost 7 billion people in the world, fewer missionaries than ever before, and most young people don't hear the call of God. Why? He says, if you will hear the voice, if you will hear his voice. Holy Spirit says, today. Now, we need to be ready to obey God. We need to be ready to go to higher ground. And what happens if we're not ready? You know, that's a question that only God will reveal to in heaven for some people. But I think it works this way. This is just my opinion. I think for most people, God brings those people to a place to go to higher ground. And they say, oh boy, I like my drink glass of wine once in a while. Or they say, you know, I kind of like the little carousing we do at work. Or, you know, they say, Maybe I have to change my apparel. Yeah, that doesn't seem real reasonable. That, you know, some people they can't imagine, you know, going down to the beach with clothes on. And they say, nah, I don't want to change my apparel. And for some people, that's the turning point of their whole life. One little thing. And they don't hear the voice of God leading them to that higher ground again. They spend the rest of their life just like the people of Israel, wandering around in the desert, God taking care of them, God protecting them, God doing wonderful things for them, but they never hear the voice of God to go to higher ground again. Because they came to a decision about something. And they said no. They weren't willing to pay the price. And everybody, it's a little bit different. I don't know what it is. But you know what? The Bible says, the Holy Spirit says, today. It's a very important truth in life. To be ready to obey God, to go to higher ground, to be ready to obey God when He calls you to that step of faith, to be ready to listen to God when He is moving you to make greater commitment. Maybe it's a greater obedience and separation. Maybe it's breaking ties with that bad influence. And the Spirit of God says, okay, time to do it. You know, we don't know what God, the people of Israel, they had no idea of the consequence of them saying no to God, did they? No, they had no idea. And when God says, that's it, you aren't going to the land, forget it, no more opportunity. They, we'll go. That's not how it works, though, is it? Step of faith. The wind is blowing. God says, you know, it's time. You know, you need to make that decision. You go to a youth camp. You know, that's why, camp is so important. I always feel bad when kids decide not to go to camp or parents have lost their vision for their kids to go to camp. Man, that isn't good thinking. That isn't good. Oh, a couple bucks is more important than that child having the opportunity of hearing the voice of the Spirit of God? Oh man, that's not real smart. Because those decisions are mighty important. That decision to read your Bible every day, or that decision to get rid of the wrong kind of friend, or that decision to throw out the iPad, or whatever it is, man, can change a whole life. Today, the Holy Spirit says today. And that's the Hebrew Christians are said, hey, this isn't something you can dilly-dally around anymore in. You need to get decisive about who Jesus Christ is and what you're going to do about him. Bringing them to a point of decision. And so today is a very important word in the Bible. And today is important in every day of our life. And if we aren't close to the Lord, when today comes, And God says, calls us to higher ground. We don't have the faith to go forward. It could be very serious. We need to be close to God every day. We need to have our sins confessed. We need to be reading our Bible every day. We need to be right with God. And we need to understand these important principles of today, of where God is calling us. And the consequences, the possible consequences of what could happen in a life when they say no to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and help us to understand the importance of today. The importance of today for that lost sinner who needs Christ. And Lord, they need to accept him as the Holy Spirit is convicting them. They need to respond then and now. And Lord, in our own lives, we recognize that we wouldn't want to think about where we would be if it wasn't for that day that we trusted Christ as our Savior. We wouldn't want to think where we would be today. And Lord, in the same way, we need to be the kind of people that are ready, whose heart is tender, whose heart can hear the Spirit of God and His voice to be decisive. In this case, the decisive to worship the King, the Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, work as we think about this. And Lord, may those who have refused to listen to the Lord, if there's opportunity, I pray that they would repent before they ruin their life, before they just that run-of-the-mill Christian that is worldly and has a foot on both sides of the fence. They never get to higher ground. Lord, I pray that, Lord, maybe some need to go back to that moment that they said no to the Lord and get it right and repent. Maybe there's some even tonight that the Spirit of God is saying, hey, don't make the wrong decision about your spiritual life. And I pray that, Lord, we'd learn this important lesson of now is the accepted time. Today is the message of the Spirit of God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps even tonight, the Spirit of